Hi guys, just a reminder that this podcast, as well as many of my online resources, is delivered freely. If you would like to help me get this message of healing out to millions of people around the world, please consider clicking on the donate button on my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. Thank you. Hello, everybody. How are you doing today? This is Nicole, and you have reached my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain, with me, Nicole Sachs. Welcome to it. I hope today brings you some level of peace and comfort. My goodness, my life has been a roller coaster, but honestly, isn't it always? Isn't it always if you stop and take a look? I don't know. For me, it is. But I hope today finds you well. Today, I bring you such an incredible interview. I receive many, many emails, DMs, messages about vertigo, tinnitus, different kinds of vestibular diseases that people are diagnosed with, but then the doctors say there's nothing we can do for you. I receive a lot of messages about that. And today we have Rochelle, who is a phenomenal story, a phenomenal in both ways, phenomenal in terms of I can't believe it in terms of what she went through, and then phenomenal in I can believe it, but I am astounded by her beautiful, beautiful success. So she reached out to me. I don't know Rochelle. I had never made her acquaintance, but she reached out to me to tell me that she really wanted to bring her story to the podcast because she had suffered so deeply with incredible dizziness, ringing in her ears, despair, and every diagnosis under the sun in terms of vestibular disease, every specialist under the sun in terms of who you might be able to turn to, and no solutions and tremendous despair. And then came upon my work, realized that she had familiarized years before with Dr. Sarno, but didn't put two and two together, and just is living an absolutely incredibly free and joyful best life. So it's just a great story, and I look forward to sharing it with you. If you are new to my work and you are interested, if your interest has been piqued somewhere that you ran across it on the internet, go to my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. Click on the resources tab. So much to learn, so much to do, and so much of your life left to live that you might not have realized how free and how open and how beautiful and present it could be. So I invite you to check that out. I also want you to know that one of the ways that Rochelle healed herself, in addition to my work, is she used the Curable app. And Curable is actually a sponsor for this podcast. Curable and I do such a beautiful partnership of helping people get well. Curable is an app at your fingertips, on your phone, anytime you need it. As Rochelle describes in this interview, it offers a lot of ways for you to deeply understand the brain science of what's going on with TMS and what's going on with the nervous system and the brain that are overfiring and causing all these physical symptoms. And through that understanding, what we do is we rewire our neuropathways, which is a great, great help in addition to journal speak and all the work that I teach in order to heal. And so if you are interested in taking part in the Curable app and really taking advantage of this incredible technology that is available to you, you can get through my podcast 50% off your first year's membership with Curable by going to www.getcurable.com/Nicole, N-I-C-O-L-E. You get 50% off your first year's membership. So I would really encourage you to take advantage of that. And when you hear what Rochelle has to say about Curable, I think you'll really know how integral it was in helping her. Okay. All right, my loves. Well, I hope that today finds you well. And I hope that if it doesn't and you're really struggling, you'll find some inspiration and some light in this incredible, incredible tale of despair and awakening and hopefulness with Rochelle. All right, well, take care, and I will see you next week and enjoy this interview with me and Rochelle. Hello, everybody. I am here today with Rochelle. Welcome, Rochelle.
Thank you, Nicole.
I am so excited to talk to Rochelle today because when she reached out to me, she said two words that got my ears way perked up, and they were vertigo and tinnitus, two things that I hear about from people a lot, and they cause a lot of fear and a lot of discomfort, and people really struggle with these two. So when Rochelle reached out as a success story with having these two symptoms, I took that very seriously, and I'm thrilled to welcome her to the show. So Rochelle, go ahead and tell us your story.
Thank you, Nicole. I'm so excited to be here. My story, well, of course, like most everyone on your podcast, goes back to I had lots of symptoms as a child and nothing that was ever debilitating, you know, but I had stomach aches, headaches, neck and back pain, those kinds of things. And then in my adult life, so January 24th, 2019 was my first day feeling this dizziness. I woke up feeling dizzy. And I want to tell the story of the night before because I think this is significant in just understanding the connection for me. So the night before, I had gotten home from working my two different jobs. I was in a place at that time that I was working two jobs. I was really stressed out. And I sat down to watch a TV show. And the TV show reminded me of my father, who I'd been estranged from for about 8 years at that point. And just lots of emotions came up for me with that. I went to bed, and before going to bed, I was looking for a therapist because I had decided that it was time for me to speak to my father again, or I wanted to explore
that.
Interesting.
So you're saying before you even got these symptoms, you were already saying, I want to look into my mental health. Amazing. Okay, go on.
Yeah. And so just that night, you know, I was having all this fear and anxiety around that. And then the stress of working and life and just in general, you know, I was just trying to function at that point. And I woke up the next morning and I was dizzy. And I had felt that sensation, a similar sensation, you know, a couple months before when I, or maybe even a year before, I can't remember, but when I had given blood and, you know, after giving blood, I felt a little dizzy and it's like, okay, well maybe it's, you know, because I got my period, maybe that's what's going on. Something just totally benign. And, so I gave it a few hours. I called in sick to work because I literally could not, walk to the kitchen. I was so dizzy. I tried to get ready for work. I couldn't do it. I felt like everything was rocking and swaying underneath me. And so I ended up that morning, I had my husband drive me to my primary care doctor. And she had said, well, it could either be, you know, BPPV, which is benign paroxysmal positional vertigo, or a migraine. And those were her two thoughts, but she wanted to do all this blood work and look into it. And so then she gave me medication for both of those things, the migraine and the BPPV, which, for the people listening to this, if you've ever struggled with these issues, you know that there really isn't a magic pill. So neither of those worked, needless to say. And then I just started going down the rabbit hole of medical treatment. So that began, that first episode resulted in 2 weeks of constant dizziness where I just felt like constant rocking and swaying. Like I could barely even get up to go to the bathroom. It got to a point where, I couldn't look at screens anymore or even read a book. Like I just, everything, my whole perception of, my balance and my movement was totally off. And so I started going to physical therapists who didn't know what to do with me. I went to a, ear, nose and throat doctor, and she called it disequilibrium and explained to me how the calcium crystals in the inner ear work, which, I'd had some understanding of that before just from my job. I'm a certified occupational therapy assistant. So I work with children and had worked with vestibular, I had just taken a course several weeks before that on vestibular disorders in children. And so anyway, I had some,
that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting that you've just taken a course. Look, given the suggestibility of the brain, which is an unconscious process. So it's just interesting to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know from my history, and then when I started to do the TMS work, I really was able to go back and understand the suggestibility and how that has impacted my whole story. So, I took that course. I had some understanding of it. And so when she started to explain it to me, I was like, okay, well, that makes sense. There's these calcium crystals in your inner ear. They sometimes get dislodged and can cause different kinds of vertigo. So there's the spinning vertigo, which is, the posterior canal of your inner ear causes that's where the room's spinning. And then the other canals cause the, more of that rocking and swaying feeling. So I heard that from many doctors and all of my research that I did. And, nobody ever talked about it being related to stress or anxiety. Sometimes they would sort of suggest that, but there wasn't. It's interesting because looking back at it now and talking, like if I were to ask any of these doctors, I'm sure they would say, oh yeah, it's like stress triggers vertigo, period, done. Like we know that. But at that time, nobody was going there with me. And I think, obviously they were doing the best they could. It never got to that. Nobody ever talked to me about that. And so anyway, so I got this diagnosis and she said, do these maneuvers where you move your head in different positions and that will help dislodge or help get the dislodged crystals back in place. So I did those for weeks, no relief. And then I went to another physical therapist and he had me do a different maneuver and that one actually worked. So this has been kind of interesting for me because my understanding now is, so I did have benign paroxysmal positional vertigo, which is the diagnosis I think that most people get when they either have that spinning sensation or when they have the rocking and swaying sensation. That was something because the crystals went, the maneuver worked to put the crystals back in place. Looking back at it now, I can say, yeah, that's probably what was going on. But what started it? And that's, kind of the key piece is I believe that it started from my stress and my anxiety, my trauma, everything that was piling up for me at that time. And so anyway, I got to where I felt better actually for about 2 or 3 weeks. And I was like, okay, this is it. I'm done with this dizziness thing. This is a thing of the past. Moving on with my life. And then this was March at this point, about a month or two into this. And then it came back. And as soon as it came back, it was full on alarm signals in my brain. I was so terrified.
Yeah.
And with that came the tinnitus. And for the first time, I felt that I don't even know the best words to describe what tinnitus feels like. It's crazy making, like just feeling that ringing, hearing that constantly and not being able to stop it. So I had the ringing, I had the dizziness, and this time it was full on, I was so scared, that I just went everywhere. So I started with, my friend, who's a physical therapist, he was suggesting some different vestibular places. And Portland, Oregon is the closest city that I live to. So,
let me ask you a question, because
yeah.
I know that you're saying that you think that first, or actually the second maneuver was the reason that you resolved. I'm skeptical about that. And the only reason I am is because I've been doing this work for so long and I've been doing it with people from all different symptoms and syndromes and conditions and diagnoses and walks of life, where they try the thing that mm-hmm. makes them feel comfortable that they're going to solve it. If it's either a back surgery or it's a medication or it's a procedure or it's an exercise. And because for whatever reason, and this is not to say that there, I don't know enough about the crystals in one's ear to speak intelligently on it. But so I'm not saying they were out of place or they were back in place or anything like that. But this is brain science that fuels this whole situation. And so if indeed you are able to do something that at the time brought your nervous system from fight or flight to rest and repair, yes, the symptoms mm-hmm. are going to go away. But I would be skeptical as to whether or not this exercise was the reason. And like yeah. I said, that's just because of my breadth of experience. But having said that, if indeed you were convinced that that mm-hmm. second exercise was the reason, did you try it again?
Yeah, and it didn't work the second time.
That's what I'm saying. So I just want to say for the purposes of this podcast and the education that I bring, I'm not saying that we shouldn't try exercises. I'm not saying that physical therapy innately is like a practice is a bad idea. I do believe, however, that until we get to the bottom of the reasons that the nervous system has switched into fight or flight, that the brain is feeling like the physical symptom is a place of safety, until we get mm-hmm. to that reason, there is nothing in terms of manipulating our physical form that is going to solve the problem in the long run. You could get a few weeks of relief, which I feel for you, thank God, because you were probably losing your mind.
Yeah.
But I've heard this story 1,000,000,000 times that when it comes back, and usually it comes back piggybacked with something else, which is exactly mm-hmm. what happened to you, the despair must have been huge.
Yeah. 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 No, I thought about that a lot, because I guess the reason that I wanted to share the piece about the crystals is because people do have relief oftentimes from doing these maneuvers. And like you said, you know, I think it's kind of like a chiropractic adjustment. Like, you can get a little bit of relief, but then it's just going to go back, you know, it's not going to be
if the underlying cause. Yeah. If the underlying cause is not unearthed. Right. Okay. So go
on. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So then I went to this audiologist, which is like this specialty clinic in Portland, and they do all this hearing testing, and they do these terrible, terrible tests where they poured, water in my ears. And then in order to stimulate the vestibular nerve. So she did one ear, and then what that does is it makes everything spin. So just full on room spinning, out of control. And then that lasts for a few minutes, and then it's supposed to subside. And so if that goes that way, then that says that your vestibular nerves are working in your inner ears. So I did that. And then this audiologist was just so impatient with me. You know, I felt like I was going to vomit. And so I asked for the garbage can, and she's just kind of rolling her eyes and sighing. And, you know, I think it was just, she sees people with the same struggles I was having every single day, all day long. And she had no sympathy. And,
yeah, but you know what? That freaking sucks.
It does.
I can't stand that. Like, if you're a doctor or any helping professional out there, every single human being that walks into your office is a human being, has nothing to do with the one you were there before or last week. Or I can't stand that. I'm sorry that happened to you.
Thank you. I think that, and then, you know, so many other providers who just heard my story, saw me, and just were like, yep, we don't know what's wrong with you. You know, that just contributed to the trauma of all of this and perpetuated the symptoms, in my opinion. You know, having people just brush me off, not have time for me, tell me, you know, they see this all day, it's not a big deal. And this woman, I remember, you know, I was about 2 months in at this point when I went to see her, and I said that, and she's like, oh, only 2 months?
Oh, right. Great. Yeah.
only 2 months of pure misery. Like, why are you even here? Was, you know, what she was telling me. So anyway, that was my audiology testing, but I got to the end of that testing and she said, everything's fine. Your hearing's fine. Your vestibular nerves are working fine. You don't have, BPPV, the benign paroxysmal positional vertigo. I don't think you have Meniere's disease, because I'd also had another doctor at that point say, maybe you have Meniere's disease. It's too early to know. So she's like, I don't know what's wrong with you. You know, go ahead, go on your way. And I burst into tears and, you know, I'm begging her to tell me what to do. Like, who should I go to next? How can I get some relief? And she just kind of pushed me out of the office and moved on with her day.
So sorry.
Yeah, thank you. It was horrendous. And it was, that was kind of the beginning of a very long journey. In the end, I ended up seeing 27 different providers. I think she was maybe number 4.
Wow.
So that was in early March. After that, I went to every doctor you could think of. I ended up getting in at OHSU, which is our big research hospital in Portland, and saw a neuro-otologist, which is basically a ear, nose, and throat doctor who does surgery. And he was sure that it was migraines. And so he called it vestibular migraines, or migraine with associated vertigo is the other name for that diagnosis. And I was like, okay, this is great. I'm going to start all this migraine stuff. You know, I started the migraine diet. I started all these supplements. He put me on a very low dose of antidepressants, which is one of the many random medications that you can get for migraines, because they just try things, I've learned with migraine medication. So, like, they try pills that are made for other things and say, this might help you with your migraines.
Right.
Yeah. So that didn't help. Needless to say, none of those things helped. And just sort of, it really started to dial in my hypervigilance. So I had this calendar that I kept every day where I'd write down what I ate, which supplements I started, if I was able to go for a walk that day or not. And I was just tracking every single thing. So that didn't help. And I, at that point, actually about a week before that, I ended up taking medical leave from work and then quitting my other job. And I was just, there was nothing I could do at that point. I felt like professionally, like I had to be home and mostly in bed or on the couch. I could hardly walk to the mailbox. Most days I couldn't. So, you know, it was, everything was just getting, my life was becoming very, very small, very quickly.
Okay. Well, yeah. Listen, here's how I feel about your story so far. Mm-hmm. I freaking love it. And even though you hated it, I love it because I know what it does for people to feel seen and feel heard. And your story typifies what it feels like to be chronically ill, mm-hmm. to go from doctor to doctor, to feel dismissed, to feel unseen and unheard, to feel helpless and hopeless, to feel alone. And although my heart seriously breaks for you, even though you're not that person anymore, just who you were at the time must have felt so low. And so I just send so much love to that girl, because I know she suffered, but I know that the story took a turn at some point. So why don't you tell us what happened that started turning you around?
Sure. Yeah. So a couple more months went by. I had allergy testing. I had a doctor tell me that it was extreme allergies. And an interesting thing about this that I want to mention is I did the allergy skin test where they stick all the little needles in you. And I was allergic to everything, according to that. I had, you know, I was allergic to dogs. I've had a dog in my house my whole life. I've never had a problem. I was allergic to trees. I was allergic to grass. And they actually had to give me epinephrine to get that reaction down. But I think it was because I was like just full on fight or flight at that point. You know, my nervous system was shot. And so I think that's why those allergy results read that way. I think if I were to do that test again today, I probably wouldn't be allergic to any of those things. So interesting side note about allergies there for anybody who has that. You know, I think that's a typical thing. I know another woman who had vestibular issues and was diagnosed with just allergies, and that's all they could get. So then I had another doctor say this was TMJ. It was all related to my jaw, because your jaw is so close to your ears that that would cause dizziness. Totally not the case. But after he said that, talking about the suggestibility, my jaw hurt like hell for weeks after that, months after that.
God, that is yeah. That happens all the time.
I know. It's crazy to think about, you know, looking back at it now, I'm like, how did I not see that? But I could,
I just want to jump in. I just want to jump in with a quick story because, my dad died very young, but when he was young, but actually I think it was even before I was born, my mom has this story she loves to tell, that they were at a dinner party and that he was seated next to a man that he had never met before. And the man had just gotten over a heart attack. And for whatever reason at this dinner party, this man decided to tell my father in detail every single thing that happened to him, from the moment he started feeling uncomfortable to like how it went, to the what kind of pains he had, what kind of sensations in his body, something about his left arm, and like all this stuff. Literally, my mom said they went home, they went to bed. At 3 a.m, my dad woke up with every single symptom that that man had. They rushed and they rushed him to the hospital because what else are you going to do, right? You're not going to ignore it. And it ended up that my father obviously was having a panic attack, which back in 1968, I don't think that they called it a panic attack. They probably just said, we can't find anything wrong with you. But ever since that day, and it's funny because I grew up hearing that story as like a kind of my mother was making fun of my father essentially when she was telling it. But like it's just phenomenal. And it speaks to directly what one day his unborn child would be doing for her entire career, which is that the brain is a magnificent spectacle that we don't understand, but it can do that to you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really amazing. Oh, wow. Yeah. That's an interesting story. And I can look at so many times in my life where I've had that kind of suggestibility and didn't connect it. And who knows, you know, even if I did connect it, how much control I would have in the past over relieving those symptoms. Now I know that I can, and I do. Okay, talking about TMJ. So I had the TMJ. I started this whole treatment program. I was going to get, I did get all these little bite guard things, and they were going to do all this manipulation of my jaw because apparently my jaw was all out of whack. And I had had TMJ over the years, throughout my life, but it had never been debilitating, and I never was going to go to any extremes with it. I just kind of dealt with it. So I started that treatment, and then I met this functional neurologist who specialized in vestibular disorders. And he specifically worked with people who had concussions, brain injuries. And he convinced me that because I had had a car accident about 4 months before this started, which was like tiny little, I rear-ended a truck. I was going probably 10 miles an hour. It wasn't a big deal at all. But because I had that, and I had had some previous injuries over the years, some whiplash and stuff like that from little accidents, he said that this was all a result of underlying traumatic brain injury. Like, you know, my brain was just messed up. Yeah, from these tiny little accidents over the years. And he started this whole treatment program with me. I spent a week there with him and his other providers, all day, 9 to 5, getting all of these maneuvers and different a ton of different eye exercises to try to get my balance and my vision back. And I did start to feel some relief from that. But I think a lot of it was just feeling like somebody maybe had some understanding and had some hope for me.
Right. Yeah. Support.
Yep. Support. You know, they were all very friendly. They started to treat me like family. I'd spent so much time there and so much money there. So after that week, I started to feel a little bit better, but I didn't, but it just kept coming back. And then when it would come back, I would have so much more fear associated with it because, you know, here I went, I spent thousands of dollars on this week of treatment. I had done all this, you know, I totally gave up everything else in my life to commit to try to getting better. He'd given me a routine that was 3 to 5 times a day. I had to do like 30 or 40 minutes of eye exercises and like balance exercises.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was my entire summer and fall. Yeah. Of that year was just doing these exercises. And any day I didn't do them, I felt like I was going to go back into, you know, that I would get dizzy again. And some days I was dizzy and I would just do them anyway. Many days that would happen. And it wasn't helping. It would still keep coming back. So I got to September. So this is, I'm about 8 months in at this point, or August, I decided I was going to go back to work because I was feeling a little bit better and I just needed to get out of the house. I needed to try something. And so I went back to work part-time and that brought on a lot of fear as well. You know, I don't know how many days where I remember being in the bathroom at work, just trying not to vomit and trying to somehow regain my balance so I could go and be present and be productive in my job. So I did that. I had about, I was just reading my notes. I think I had like 10 or 15 minutes of computer tolerance that I could take. So, you know, my job involves a lot of notes on the computer and I would have to divide that up over my evenings and my weekends to try to get caught up on that.
How
I could somehow, you know, make my life just, everything was surrounded around trying to get better, try to not feel these symptoms, try to figure out what was wrong with me and find this magic thing that was going to help me. And at that point, going into September, I had a really bad couple of days and I remember starting to think if this was what my life was going to be like, I didn't want to live anymore. And I never thought that before. And, and I didn't have any plans, but I remember saying that to my husband that this is not how I want to live. You know, I didn't want to put him through it anymore. I didn't want to, I went from being this very active person, running, hiking, rafting. You know, I live in a outdoor mecca, so that was my life, to being on the couch or in bed all day long and then just trying to get a couple hours in where I could work or to take my dog for a walk, something. So things got very dark and just around that time, I got a text from my good friend, Allison, and our mutual friend, Mary, had found your work a few months before that. And she sent me one of your podcasts and I started listening. And as soon as you mentioned Sarno, I remembered that I had read Healing Back Pain back in 2013 after a back injury. Yeah. So I had an injury at work in 2013 that was pretty minor. You know, I think I pulled some muscles in my back and I ended up laid out for almost a year after that. So same thing. It was straight up TMS and after about a year of dealing with that back injury, I went to my chiropractor and she had healing back pain in her waiting room. And so I bought it and I read it and I identified with it. And I started getting my life back, and I started rafting again and climbing and hiking and doing all these things that I had told myself I would never do again. It was so empowering. And then I sort of just forgot about it because, you know, my back was fine. And I just really didn't think that a back healing back pain had anything to do with vertigo, you know?
Of course. And that's where most people actually get really confused. And now I didn't even know that about your 2013 thing. So mm-hmm. if that's the case, then really what's gone on here in Rochelle's life is that her reservoir of rage and shame and guilt and sadness and fear and anger and all the things as a human being that we collect over mm-hmm. our lifetimes had reached maximum density in 2013. She had so although I know that you use terms like I pulled muscles in my back, mm-hmm. you didn't, but mm-hmm. that's just what it feels like. And I totally get it that that's, you know, verbiage that works. But what really happened, because I've been working with Dr. Sarno for like 100 years, is that it's a sensation that is a harmless sensation of intense pain that is a result of this entire brain science thing we're always talking about, where the reservoir threatens to spill over and inform us of how scared and sad and angry and rageful and blah, blah, blah we are. And the nervous system gives a ping into this intense danger, danger, danger signal. It transfers into oftentimes back pain, but it could be any host of different stimuli in symptoms and conditions. And then when we're focusing on the pain or the condition or the diagnosis or making 100 doctor's appointments or mm-hmm. being in despair, that is a safer space than looking at the feeling. So a lot of times when people do have what they call a book cure, which is what you had, they tend to manifest their TMS differently at a later date. So you are mm-hmm. just a perfect example, even though I'm sure it didn't feel perfect, of the way this works. And so once again, I thank you hand to heart for sharing your story, because I think you can really bring a lot of connection to a lot of people who are going through this.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was just so, it was so inspiring to hear your story, to then get into a place where I finally had some hope, although I still didn't have anything in writing or hear anything on your podcast or the other podcast that was saying, yes, vertigo is, or tinnitus, or, you know, any of these vestibular symptoms were TMS. And so I started the hunt. I think I found some verbiage in, what's Sarno's second book? I can't remember the name. Mind Body Prescription.
Yeah.
Yes. He talks about vertigo in that. And then Steve Ozanich has something on his book. And I think Howard Schubiner's book. So I was just looking everywhere, you know, I'm like, somebody please tell me that this is my thing. And actually your podcast with Ray Zaragoza, is that her last
name? Yes.
Yeah. So, she talked about migraine with associated vertigo. And that gave me so much hope to hear somebody else who had similar symptoms and was finding some relief. And so, I spent about a month or two going down that journey of trying to find the belief, you know, looking for different resources. I was still in an investigative mode, because I had so many doctors on board at this point, and, you know, I had several that I had tried to get appointments with and they were booked out for like 6 months. You know, I was looking for all these experts. I was actually on the list for the Mayo Clinic and, was supposed to get in. I think it was like a 9-month wait or something. And I ended up canceling that because I was better by then. But there was a specialist in Portland who I had been waiting also about 6 months to see. I finally got in with him. So I went to that appointment and I went to another appointment. But all of these doctors were giving me more and more belief that it was TMS, because they were saying things like, I don't know what's wrong with you, or yes, this, because I started asking them, you know, I was like, well, can this be stress induced? Can this be have a psychological origin, or just asking in different ways. And they were all like, yeah, yeah, absolutely. Anxiety can provoke this. Stress can provoke this. You know, we see that all the time. And once I started asking the right questions, they were all giving me the answers I needed to have the belief. You know, but without that, of course, before that, nobody's going to, or not nobody, but many providers are not going to go there because they don't want to offend you. They don't want to, you know, try to tell you it's all in your head or whatever. So anyway, I got that. I had a brain MRI back in March. I had another brain MRI just to rule out anything major. And then the belief really started coming. I saw this doctor who, he does the applied kinesiology muscle testing. Are you familiar with that? It's an energy work kind of thing. But I was referred to him by Serena Sterling, who is a psychotherapist or a psychologist who does TMS work. And because I was trying to find a TMS provider around here, which there aren't any. And so I found this guy who was sort of, you know, like a TMS provider. And he gave me that. He did the muscle testing and he did all, you know, he talked to me about my symptoms. And one of the first questions he asked was, did you have to grow up too quickly? Hmm. And of course I said, yes. but it was just so relieving, you know, to have somebody relate this back to my childhood and to see it for what I was starting to learn about. And so anyway, after seeing him, I felt like that was it. Like I had the belief and I just needed to go through the motions. So I threw out all my medications, all my supplements. I started running again. That was the first thing as far as physical activity. Because at this point I had been told I couldn't run, I couldn't raft, I couldn't go on airplanes. I probably shouldn't be driving a car. you know, I couldn't swim. I couldn't go underwater. I couldn't lie on my side. I couldn't lie flat. And this was all.
Oh, your sounds like what I went through when I was 19. Basically, you can't live.
Yeah, I can't live. Yeah, I couldn't do any of the things. Even just, I couldn't sleep because they were telling me, this is from the functional neurologist who was, you know, I was still kind of involved with some treatment with him, but he said, if I turned on my side when I was in bed, that would then dislodge the crystals again. And then, you know, all hell's going to break loose. So I was sleeping at a 45 degree angle. Or I was trying to sleep totally straight. Like I couldn't turn over. And so I had to break down each of these fears. So as I started to do the work, I listed out all my fears and I followed, I did your course. I did Curable. I was listening to all the podcasts, reading all the books and just really dove in. And besides like the things I think that really stuck with me were, Journal Speak was a life changer. And then trying to remove the fears kind of one by one of all of those things that I wasn't supposed to do. So I did guided motor imagery through the Curable app where you look at pictures of people doing things. So my first one was lying on my side. So I would look at, it's really pretty silly to think about now, but I would look at pictures of, you know, I'd Google it on my phone. Here's a woman lying on her side in bed. And right away, you know, my heart would start racing. I would be scared.
Yeah.
Because that was supposed to provoke dizziness. Like that's what I had been taught. So I broke down each one of those fears and I would methodically like, okay, now I'm going to try lying on my side for 5 seconds and then 10 seconds and then 30 seconds. And then eventually it was all night. And I had to do that for so many things that process took many months. And eventually, you know, today I don't even think about any of these things. My life is free and open. I can do whatever I want physically. I don't ever have any fears of being dizzy. It's unbelievable to think about where I was and where I am today.
Amazing. And the tinnitus?
Oh, it's gone. Yeah. It was, the tinnitus took, it would come and go throughout. It was always there at a base level for the 10 months that I was suffering. But it would ramp up at different times. And then when I started to heal, tinnitus went. The thing that took the longest was the fullness in my ears. My ears felt plugged up the entire time. And that was the last symptom that left, was that fullness. And sometimes I can still feel like if I'm, in the summertime right now, I'm spending a lot of time swimming in the rivers and at the beach. And, if my ears get some water in them or something, I start to get a little bit of fear, like, oh no, this is gonna, my ears are gonna be full forever. And they don't, they drain out and they work fine. My ears are fabulous. They do exactly what I need them to do for me. There's nothing wrong with them. Despite, my 10 months to a year of being told differently. So yeah, everything just went away. And it really took about, all of October, November, and then December was my last vertigo episode. So about 2.5 months, journaling every day, doing the guided motor imagery, lots of education, lots of meditation, and then just continuing that, and I'm still doing, I still do the work daily just to.
Yeah. So that's, first of all, that story is amazing. And I love, love, love the way you laid it out, because you really took your time with it and showed us exactly what you went through. And I felt the emotion throughout the whole thing of how, all the feelings, all the feels, the sad, the scared, the hopeless, the low, the real, truthfully not knowing if you could go on. I've heard these stories so many times, and it's just every single time I just have such empathy for what it feels like to be that without solutions. And then, I love that you took the bull by the horns and really did the work. So how do you find the present day? Do you still do the work?
Yeah. Yeah. I still journal probably 2 days a week, maybe three, depending on what's going on in life. Sometimes I journal every day. But I meditate every single morning. That just needs to happen. And sometimes throughout the day, I'll stop and meditate. I do, I've been in therapy now through all of this. I started when I was in the thick of the dizziness. And so I've had that journey as well of just really processing a lot of my childhood trauma and my present day trauma, looking at all of my relationships in life. And so that has been very helpful and definitely was something that I needed in order to find healing as well. What else do I do? I do a lot of yoga. Yoga actually has been, initially was really helpful for me and still is today, because you have to put your body in so many different positions, and there was so much fear for me around putting my head down or I couldn't even bend over to pick something up off the ground without being scared of being dizzy. And then the result of that was that I would get dizzy. And so part of my guided motor imagery, and then I did this whole visualization exercise through Fred Amir's program. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He's a TMS guy, but so I followed his program for a while, and that, through that, I got to where I could do yoga again. So that's part of my life now, is the yoga, the journaling, meditation, therapy, and then lots of physical exercise. I know that I've learned that I need to exercise almost every day to feel good in my body and to feel regulated. And that wasn't a routine that I had before this. So that's part of my life now. I also do the Wim Hof cold showers. I started that a few months ago and find that really helpful as well. Yeah, it's just,
I mean, you know, I think that what's really great is for people to get that it's not a life sentence, that you don't have to journal every day. And like everything that we do should be toward moderation, ease, comfort, and feeling safe. Because the whole, I mean, if I could encapsulate what happened to Rochelle, it's that her emotional reservoir reached maximum density. And when that happened, she became so scared that as she went from doctor to doctor, and as more people said, we don't know what to do for you, or you have to limit your life in a certain way, or you have to panic when you sleep, or all these things, fear begets fear. As I often say, chronic symptoms or syndromes or conditions or pain is an epidemic of fear, and the meaning we put upon it, we have no choice. It is most certainly not in your head. It is most certainly not your creation, and it's most certainly not in your control, but it is a result of your brain, your nervous system, and your emotional world. It's just the capital T truth. And so I love that you were able to find relief through the work and then know that then you just find, like, what I find is that I just live my life the way it feels to live my best life. Sometimes I don't journal for weeks, and sometimes I journal every day. So I always find time for physical exercise because it makes me feel alive. It connects me with my spiritual journey. It makes me feel connected in general to Mother Nature and all the beauty and energy that is contained there. You know, so we all have to find our way, but you can't find your way when you're in the thick forest of illness and pain. And so, that was just wonderful. Thank you for sharing your story, Rochelle.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you for saving my life, literally.
Oh, you're so welcome. You're so welcome. Yeah, well, listen. So the one thing I tend to ask my interviewees, who are my people who have come through this hell that is a TMS, a blind TMS state, and have evolved and arrived into a place where you feel safe and thriving. You are looking out on a sea of people that potentially are suffering as you suffered. What advice would you give to these people?
So many things, but I think the biggest one is just to believe in yourself and know that you have the keys. You have the power to take your life back. And yeah, it's possible. It's, you know, and specifically if you're dealing with these kinds of symptoms, it's not a life sentence. It's not forever, even if that's what you've been told. Know that there's hope and know that you have nothing to lose. It's worth it. It's worth it to live your best life. Yeah.
It's great advice, and I love that your phone or whatever went off was that like beautiful, sparkly, magical sound when you were telling people that they could do it.
I know, isn't that great? My wind chimes. That's my ringtone. Sorry about that.
No. It was perfectly timed. All right. Well, Rochelle, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story with us. It was magical, as your ringtone suggested. And I know so many people will get so much out of this interview. And for all of you guys out there, I love you. I send you great hope and great inspiration from this conversation. And until next week, this has been Nicole Sachs with the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast. I will see you then. Bye-bye.